that.
Or it's oh no, or maybe oh no, this is inside.
But
this is part of. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. Does it give us a moment?
That's
north.
The plan.
Oh, well, yeah.
7 o'clock.
Usually they'll put a north, a little hand on which way is which. Mike, tell us.
7 o'clock, guys. So we'll go ahead and get started. Today is November 26th, and will the clerk please take roll?
Councilmember Sanchez?
Here.
Councilmember Watson?
Here.
Councilmember Flores?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez?
Here.
And Mayor Kimball is absent. Lift notice.
Okay. So, welcome everybody to our council meeting of tonight. First item here is public comment. Oh, sorry. Pledge of Allegiance, led by Councilmember Watson.
Stand.
Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now, we'll move into public comment. The public is invited to comment on any subject under the jurisdiction of the Lindsay City Council. Speakers should give the clerk a filled-out speaker card and clearly state their name at the podium to begin. Speakers shall be limited to 3 minutes each with no more than 30 minutes for the total comment period unless otherwise indicated by the mayor. So anybody wishing to address council?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eric Sinclair, Sinclair Media. One of the topics that I wanted to speak on this evening was energy. And when I was younger, I got to invest in a lot of wind machines when I was younger. And if you were ever into Mojave Desert and seen all the wind machines out there, and that was from me when I was younger. And amongst wind energy and the and always looking into more ways to supply our country with means of energy, natural resources, and I got to be a part of, I bought a nuclear power plant when I was younger in the state of Georgia, and it was, it was a good researching, facility for the United States of America, and, it got shut down because, you know, we don't want any bad things happening here in the United States of America, and there's only so many nuclear power plants here in the United States, and we want to keep it that way as far as researching new ways and developing new avenues of becoming more stronger than any other country, and without having to rely on any other countries' resources. It's up to us, and it's up to those individuals ahead of corporations. People that are ahead of corporations are doing enough for this country. They're sacrificing money. But what's money to being ahead of our resources? And that's what the game is. The game is surviving on our own resources. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Council and Mayor Pro Tem. I'm Ron Halsey. I live at Orangewood Mobile Manor, and I've spoken to the owner, and she has a right as a property owner. In 2017, before we they voted on to passing marijuana, I got an ordinance in the park. I was living in Porterville. The city of Porterville made an ordinance where that because we were in too close of a proximity that they couldn't grow marijuana in there because all they were growing it for is to sell, not to use for personal use or pain. And now in Orangewood Manor, they're doing the same thing. So I don't think the one rule will apply now that it was voted, but doesn't the property owner have a right if she doesn't want it grown on her property because they're just selling it? The guy behind me has 50 to 100 plants in his backyard. And I called the police when I seen it. And they came out and said that if their son was there, he would go over there and talk to him. But the son wasn't there. And so they told me they would step up patrol. But I haven't seen anything. Because from 10 o'clock at night till 4 o'clock in the morning, there's all kinds of sales going on. And so I would like to at least get an ordinance that it can't be grown on her property simply because she owns the property and Mary Sterla doesn't want it grown on her property. And so that's what I'm here to address and hope that you understand. Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you for that. At this time, we'll move to council report. City council members will report on recent or upcoming events. Council member Flores?
Not too much. I went to the chamber event that they had with the pop-up, and that was really nice. The fish tacos were fantastic. They had the cupcake lady there, and there was a lot of vendors, and it was well attended. So that was nice. Other than that, that'll be.
Councilmember Watson.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
I went to the Lindsay Wellness Center Programming Committee along with Laura. And I'll just go ahead and a few things that were discussed, or actually that Lisa let us know a few things that were going on. They wanted to have Christmas tree lighting at the new roundabout. planning to take place December 3rd at 4:45 p.m., but I don't know if that's the actual set date and time for that. The high school students, the ASB, some of the students will be helping with that. Women's self-defense class, there was just a few people there, but they're thinking of having another one. Martial arts is every Tuesday. Currently they have 6 members, but we'll be going up to 8 members in December. There's also going to be a new class, Tai Chi for arthritis and falls. It will start on Monday, January 20th. It is 10 weeks long, an hour each day, Monday through Wednesday, 9:30 to 10:30 at the Wellness Center. And I believe it's no cost for Wellness Center members, but $20 for non-members. Also, Yes, grant has been approved for 5 days. Starts January. It will be 5 days a week, 3:30 to 5:30. They will have different types of activities. To name a few would be Zumba dance, martial arts, fitness enrichment, and swimming. And then on, we're going to have two interns, I think, starting. One started already. They'll be helping out with Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I believe there's 11 interns from Portable College who are interested, I guess, through Youth at Work program.
Portable College can help compensate the interns when they're looking for different opportunities at the Wellness Center and we're exploring some other options.
Will they all be placed at the Wellness Center if able to, or are they going to be placed?
The first ones are focused on the Wellness Center and we can explore the program more before we have others.
The pool update, the big pool is going to hold off on the plastering for, I believe, another year. But I believe they're still going to close for cleanup and the heating, right? Are they going to drain the big pool or
just the therapy?
Okay, and then the therapy, they're, okay, yes. And then, I think that's all for them. Yes, that's all. I didn't have the dates. Did you have the dates and the days that the physical therapy was going to be closed? The 2 weeks?
Starting January 25th.
Yeah, that was it. That's all I have.
Thank you. For my report, let's see. I attended the Wellness Programming Committee meeting yesterday along with Councilmember Sanchez. And just a couple things that I wanted to mention. Let me see. Yes. So we are still in the recruitment stage for a member at large to be part of that committee. There's currently 2 council members and 2 members from the hospital district, and we're looking for a community member or a member at large. They've done some advertising for it on social media. There's been flyers posted on the Lindsay Hospital Board, outside their office at the Wellness Center. I saw some flyers on the counter here in the city. So anybody that's interested, they still have a couple days. The deadline is November 30th, but if someone is interested, they could contact Lisa or one of us, and we can pass on the necessary information. Something else that came about at last night's meeting was I found interesting that the gym equipment in the Wellness Center is actually inspected, serviced and maintained throughout the year. There's a person that does that, a provider that does that. And Lisa was telling us that he is very impressed with how well taken care of the gym equipment is, and that it's one of the best facilities that he inspects and does services at. So I found that interesting because I didn't know that they even went around to do that. So that was pretty cool. Besides the interns that Councilmember Sanchez mentioned, there's also a youth. So we have 2 Lindsay Unified School District interns plus 1 from TCOE, Tulare County Office of Education, the C program. And that internship is actually paid, whereas the ones here from the school district are not. Those are just, they get credit for a class here. And that's pretty much it. Oh, and a new thing that they've started at the Wellness Center is they actually have a concession stand up in the front now where they sell waters, Gatorades, snacks, proteins, things like that. And that's actually really beneficial because sometimes people forget their water or end up staying there a little longer than what they expected. So now they're able to purchase items at the front counter. So that's really a nice service. Another thing I wanted to mention was you know, in the last couple of weeks, just been hearing, again, a lot of information on the census. We got a really nice report at our last council meeting. One of the things that I found out was that the district is working with Tulare County Office of Education to install, like, a kiosk, a census kiosk, at possibly the Lindsay Healthy Start office. So as parents are coming in for different services or to look for resources, they can go ahead and fill out the census there. So actually, I brought this up at the meeting last night. I'm wondering if maybe the city can do the same, like at the wellness center, since we get a lot of traffic there too, or even at the front counter. As I was paying my water bill yesterday, and there's this long line of people, I'm like, this would be a nice opportunity if we could do that at some point, if maybe through one of the mini grants or something like that. The Lindsay High School football season has come to an end. On Friday, they played against Bishop, and they didn't bring a winning game, but they had a really good season. A lot of records were broken there, and so very proud of those young men. And as that sport is winds down, so do other youth fall sports such as soccer and youth football, and I'm looking forward to all the other, to the next round of youth sports coming up. And lastly, you know, with Thanksgiving in a couple days here, I just want to say thank you to all the staff members here in the city for making our city run every day. So thank you to all of our residents for being here, Lindsay, and for believing in us. And thank you to fellow council members for doing the work that you do here. So thank you, and I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. Okay, thank you. That's that. Okay, staff reports.
All right, staff will start off by wishing all of you happy Thanksgiving as well. And we're going to have a two-part staff report tonight. I'm going to go through mine, and then our city attorney has some quick comments as well. So jump to that. So we're going to do it a little differently tonight than I have the last couple of times. We've gone through each department tonight. So we focus on a financial update and be ready for the audit report that comes to you next meeting, December 10th. So we'll have that. So as we go through, we've got just a couple terms. Is that on the auto play, or is that?
Well, that's me.
Okay. So, all right. So, go through just a couple glossary terms here to make sure we're on the same page with it. So, fiscal year date, or FYTD, just means that we're going from July of 2019 through October of 2019. That's the most current date that we have. November's not over yet, so we don't have all of November's. The year date expected, that is what we have budgeted total. So it's the income or the inflows minus the outflows is going to be that expected today. The actual date is our inflows minus our outflows. The variance is the difference between the two. The net then is the inflows minus the outflows citywide. We're going to look at that. That's all funds, general funds, just general purpose. Committed funds, those are ones that council has designated in particular uses. Restricted would be the state, county, or other designated purposes. Enterprise funds are our fee for fee services. So the first we start with is a snapshot at the end of fiscal year 2019. So this is the only one that's going to look back to 19. The other slides, there's five or six more, are going to look at this year. And so you've got the major funds on the left, the fiscal year net, so that's their inflows minus their outflows, and then comments on those. So general fund, you see a large positive net number there. Some of that is money that was reserved for the McDermott debt. We have to keep a certain amount on the books because we're closing down the McDermott fund. That money has been transferred into the general fund, which is in the number there. And we had some of our revenues were higher than expected. And so some of this is going to be for reserves, and some of them come back and talk to you back in the spring. So there's some of the things like Caltrans deal that we may need to pull from to cover that. Those are the resources we would use for that. Street fund.
Brent, we don't have that in our packet.
You don't.
Is there a reason for that?
Just my staff reports typically not in the packet. Mm-hmm. They finish putting it together until today. But I can get you a copy of it if you'd like. So the others are primarily street project funds that we saved up during last year. They're the ones that are paying for all of the events so far this year. And then with the wellness center, we were off in our summer projections for the part-time costs. And so that had a slight overrun last year. So these next slides, they're all going to look the same. You're going to have the top bar, it's dark blue, as the year date expected. And so for citywide, we expected through October to be ahead by $629,000. We're actually $823,000 ahead. I'll explain some of that difference later. For a net difference of $203,000. And so anytime you have a variance that's greater than zero, it means we're doing better than budget. Any variance is less than zero, it means we're doing worse than budget. And right now, this city is ahead. general fund will actually break it down beyond just the total inflows and outflows. So our inflows, we projected to be 106,000, or I'm sorry, 1,000,006. We're at 1,000,003. And so the difference is we're a little behind right now. We're $37,000 behind where we thought we'd be to this point. Hoping to make that up for the rest of the year. And the outflows, we're a little bit ahead on our outflows, which saved almost 10,000 so far in the general fund, where we thought we'd be. And so the net effect of that is $27,000 behind at this point, which I think is manageable right now. Getting to the committed funds, these are the street improvement funds and parks. So street is ahead by 25,000. That's going to give us some resources at the end of the year to do some more projects. We'll see later on some other restricted funds that deal with streets are also ahead. But our parks are slightly behind there. And that can be just a function of timing. We're trying to project for a whole year versus project by month. It's a little more difficult to go by month. So we're still pretty close on that. So these are our restricted funds. These are the ones that come from TCAG or the county or from the state. And so in these, we are slightly ahead. In the SB1, there's some money that came in early in the year I didn't expect for a couple months, but it came early. So the gas tax, that one is ahead, and Measure R is ahead right now as well. So the LTF, we knew how much was coming in, we knew it was coming in, and so we're right where we expected to be on that one.
Okay, this may be a silly question, but as far as the gas tax, how do we get that revenue?
So that comes from the state. Okay. So they send us payments each month.
Okay.
So wellness runs at a deficit. We expect it to run at a deficit until we get the contribution from the hospital board in spring. And so we're actually running at a better deficit than we thought it would be at this point. So $3,400 ahead there. The water, sewer, and refuse, you can see that all of those are ahead. And they are what is causing that larger citywide. So what's going on there is we've just been a little patient on some projects. And we haven't put money in yet that we'd planned to. They're still on the docket for the year. But because we haven't had an outflow, we're looking better than we expected at this point. So overall, I'm optimistic about where things are. Again, we're just 4 months into the year. So we need to be careful watching what's going on there. But things are looking like they're turning okay and like they're going to be on budget for the year. And then I'll be back in 2020. To go over some budget amendments, which should take care of the Caltrans settlement and sign that contract today and send it back to them with the terms that they sent us. I'm still not working from HCD, and we'll be talking about what to do with the excess from the general fund last year.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Glad we're in a positive trajectory. Yeah.
I just had two comments on Friday. You know, it's Black Friday, obviously, and then Monday, Cyber Monday. So after you're done spending all your money, Tuesday is Giving Tuesday, and it's a nationwide thing. And you don't have to give money if you could give some time or a talent or anything to like a local agency. That's kind of the movement. And so don't forget about that. And then related to that, I'm sure some of you know about the Legacy Foundation. Roger and Katrina Gonzalez started that probably about 15 or so years ago. If you don't know, they've given probably, it's close to $200,000 in scholarships to LHS learners. And they've decided they're not going to do it anymore. It's just kind of time for them to move on. One of the things that they did was the fun run at OPF. I had helped Katrina and Roger. I've known them forever. Katrina was actually one of my teachers for a very short period of time when I was at high school. And so the group that I'm with, we're going to take over the fun run. So that we'll run, and we're going to help to continue on with all the good stuff that they did. But I don't even know if they would show up, but I think it would. I would propose maybe the council could give them just an appreciation or a proclamation saying thanks. Because, like I said, they started off with like a $500 scholarship to two people. And I, like I said, they over the last 10 to 15 years, they've almost given away $200,000. And I think each of the last years, they've given away 9 scholarships to LHS learners. Mm-hmm. And it does fluctuate the amounts and stuff, but they've given a lot of their time and effort. And it's not that it's not worthwhile, it's just they're at the point where they just have a ton going on, and it's time for them to move on. But if they don't show up, I'll deliver it to them. Just in case you hear things, you know, there will be a run. There still be a scholarship. And they're moving forward, so.
Cool.
Good.
I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I emailed the information,
yeah.
The city services team earlier today.
Uh-huh.
What's going on with those?
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Moving on to consent calendar. These are routine items approved in one motion unless items are pulled for discussion. And I will request that item 4 be pulled for a little discussion. Does anybody?
I would like number 3.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. Okay. So then right now we have items 1 and 2, minutes from November 12, 2019 council meeting, and warrant list from November 6, 2019 through November 20, 2019. What action would council like to take on those two items?
Move for approval.
Second. Moved by Watson, second by Sanchez. All those in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay. So motion carries. Items 1 and 2 are approved. Okay. Item 3, acceptance of completed roundabout at Westwood and Hermosa.
The only concern that I had on that was on the change orders that were approved. There was one for $88,000 more than what they thought. Do you have any anything to say about that?
Yeah, we talked about at the time the roundabout paving ended west on the west side of Van Ness. And we asked the contractor what a price would be to extend it to the east side and then go north on Van Ness.
That's right.
And so we brought back the number. It was well within the streets budget. And we increased the paving area. So that change, while it's a change order,
mm-hmm.
change order expanded the scope for the footprint of the area, it was at our direction.
Okay.
And then I just have a kind of a minor question here. So the project itself is complete, but the landscaping still has to be done.
Right. That, we call that phase 2.
Okay.
And we did bid it out last. Boy, how long has it been? It's been a while since we bid it out. And we had a $75,000 budget. We had 2 bidders. The little bidder was $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't afford to do it. And the timing was, and some of the comments we heard back from potential bidders were too busy. And so it didn't make sense to try and rebid at that time. Now going into winter, we're still behind, but that's basically it's a separate component.
Okay. Any other questions?
So you're thinking of rebidding?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's just timing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want me to plant some flowers? They volunteer.
Mike, is there electrical in the roundabout?
There are conduits. There's electricity that will be there.
Oh,
that's part of the landscaping.
Okay.
So.
Oh,
see,
can't
do that.
Sorry, no. Not certified for that.
Yeah. But the Christmas tree lighting. Might.
They're gonna solar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah. Okay. Lighting.
Awesome.
Okay. So now that we've cleared number 3, what action would we like to take on it? The acceptance of completed roundabout at Westwood and Hermosa.
Yeah, move to approve.
I'll second.
Moved by Flores, second by Watson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. And now, approval of Wellness Center funding agreement with Lindsay Hospital District Board amendment. So, in the original agreement, we had the amount of $300,000. The hospital district board members came back and amended the amount to $285,000. And then it was approved that way on their end. So now, I mean, that's the only change, right, that we have. So that's why we needed to pull it just to discuss that. I don't know if you guys have any questions on that. We discussed it yesterday very briefly, just said, you know, that it was approved at $285,000. We had talked about this briefly at, like, a prior meeting, saying even though they commit to a certain amount, that doesn't mean that we can't go back and ask them throughout the year, you know, for additional funding. So that's still out there. So, but they're committing to $285,000 as of right now.
That's good.
Anything else? Did I miss anything? No? Okay. So with that being said, what action would we like to take on that item?
Move to approve.
Okay. Move by Flores. Second, anybody? Second by Sanchez. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Awesome. Thank you. That's that calendar taken care of. Item number four now, Resolution 1958, Environmental Approval for Self-Help Enterprises, Palm Terrace 2 Project. Presented by City Services and Planning Director Mike Comrie.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and Council. For these next two items, I'd like to introduce Betsy McGovern-Garcia. She is the Real Estate Development Program Director for Self-Help Enterprises. If there are any questions that are directed right at the developer, she's here to address any of those. So tonight, this first item, Self-Help Enterprises, is requesting approval of environmental review documents for Palm Terrace 2 Housing Project 19-34. The project proposes construction of 54 units of affordable housing and community center 200 block of North Westwood Avenue. The proposed affordable housing project would be developed on parcels currently identified as APN 205-040-008. And 205-03-001, there is their outline. And you can see it's just south of the completed Palm Terrace 1 project. Self-Help Enterprises will pursue a lot line adjustment once all funding is committed and prior to final construction approvals. The subject parcels are currently vacant land. CEQA approval is being sought at this time, and a separate site plan review of the proposed development will be presented as a separate item. The initial study provides a review of the project and an assessment to determine if the project has potential to result in significant adverse environmental impacts. Emily Bowen, Principal Environmental Planner with Crawford and Bowen Planning Incorporated in Visalia, reviewed the proposed development and has submitted categorical exemption based on supplemental information findings that were developed in support of the project. At this time, Self-Help Enterprises is requesting approval of the environmental documents and the supporting resolution and direct the city clerk to file the notice of exemption with the county clerk. And with that, be happy to answer any questions.
So, we have another development here, which is going to bring in 54 families, possibly another 100 or more children to an already pretty impacted area for pedestrian traffic. Within all the calculus that goes on in this self-help and its partners, done an examination of projects or ideas that can help to, you know, mitigate the flow of kids walking back and forth to school primarily. That's the big issue. Yeah, we've done the roundabout and all that's good, but it's basically going to, you know, increase the number of pedestrians through there. And so just wondering if there's self-help has any, you know, ideas for maybe partnering with the city to help improve pedestrian safety, pedestrian traffic, things of that nature.
I think that's a great question, Councilman Watson. At this time, though, because we're focused on environmental, that might be a better question to respond during the site plan review.
Ah, very good.
So it's outside of
The environmental,
the window, specific environmental review.
Okay, thank you for a reminder.
That's good. No, she was ready.
So clearly no Kit Fox or rats or anything like that we need to worry about there. Okay, so that's good. That's environmental in nature. Okay.
So the supplemental, the categorical exemption document and the supplemental information, they're both on the back counter for review. They were included in the entire, or the complete agenda packet. But it looked at traffic, examined traffic, noise, air quality, and water quality, and then concluded nothing significant with this particular development.
Even in the soil? Because before it was an orange grove, so I'm assuming that they used a lot of fertilizer and pesticides. And
there was contamination found in phase one project. That contamination was mitigated, and we don't expect phase two because this overlaps with part of phase one. So the mitigation happened on the entire, what used to be the orange grove.
And how exactly did they mitigate that?
They got to remove it and replace it.
They dug out the soil?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of this area, if I remember correctly, is probably where the primary residence sat. So there may have been less contamination around the primary residence versus the grove, which was, I think, up closer to Hermosa.
Yeah,
Good. So you need a motion?
Yes.
Sure. So, I'll move for approval. Okay.
Councilmember Watson, a second on it?
I'll second.
You, Councilmember Flores. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
This is a resolution.
Okay. Councilmember Watson?
Aye.
Councilmember Flores?
Aye.
Councilmember Sanchez?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez?
Aye. Okay,
motion carries 4-0.
Another resolution here, 1959 site plan review for Self-Help Enterprises Palm Terrace 2 project. Presented by Mr. Mike Cameron.
Mayor Pro Tem, this one is site plan review component of that project. I think we have attachments to put up. There is the site plan that's proposed, and it's a pretty lengthy agenda item and staff report, but the project proposes 9 apartment buildings that are 2-story, 54 units, 2-story in height. It has a breakdown of 9 single family at 615 square feet, 1 bedroom, at 638 square feet. There are 18 units at 849 square feet, and then 18 three-bedroom units at just under 1,200 square feet. Also included in the development is a community room, a common top lot area, and this project proposes a shared or joint use agreement as this particular community room is proposing an exercise facility and no kitchen, whereas phase one has a very small exercise facility and a full kitchen. And so they'll be able to cross-use some of the amenities that are proposed. The other amenities that would be included could be the community garden. None is proposed for phase two, but there is one in phase one. And the last site visit that I did with self-help personnel, there was nothing in those community gardens, but when I've been there in the past, they've been utilized. So I think it's a good amenity for the people. Easements developed for, to be able to cross over from phase two to phase one. Circulation is a big support component of that, being able to connect from phase two directly to Hermosa as opposed to just a single inlet outlet on Westwood. And so both phase one and phase two can utilize the three entrance and exits. Energy efficiency on phase two, the focus will to be including photovoltaic solar units primarily on the carports, and those are identified there. Water efficiency to target low water use fixtures in all of the facilities, complying with water regulations on not only the interior finish but the exterior landscape areas, complying with the California Model Water Landscape Ordinance, designing some of the landscape features primarily in the areas adjacent to the buildings to retain some storm water, they're called bioswales or just holding basins, but also incorporate some drought-tolerant landscape features in those bioswale areas. They have a host of on-site services. The community room can include space for meetings, and educational programs similar to phase one. There's a computer lab that's also included in that area. Again, community garden. We'll look at developing an easement to share the phase one facility. Transit and pedestrian improvements. Palm Terrace 2 is proposing to support a new transit center and our proposed transit center. But as well as that, looking at impacts within a one-mile radius. And so the city has worked with self-help enterprises to develop a list of projects, and we have 9 specific projects within that one-mile radius that are either not ADA compliant, they don't have existing curb gutter or sidewalk, so those are gaps that need to be closed. Other amenities could be connection of either micro-mobility or multi-mobility areas, looking at a complete streets component, which would go hand-in-hand, hopefully, with the gateway study that we submitted to Caltrans, looking specifically at connecting Highway 65 to the transit center on Hermosa. So there could be some overlap programs or projects in that possibility. So we are looking at particular transit and pedestrian improvements within a defined area. Currently, the project is, the site is vacant. The site is generally flat, and has no notable natural or man-made features. The site to the north is existing multifamily apartments. It's Palm Terrace 1. The site to the east is mobile home complex and includes a few single-family homes to the southeast corner. And then bordering directly on the south, the land that would be left over is going to continue to be vacant. And then to the west, like Westwood, would be 3 more apartment complexes. So the project is compatible with the existing zoning, which it's designated medium density residential. And the site is zoned RM3, which is multifamily residential zoning, and that is consistent with general plan land use designation. Single family and multifamily dwellings are permitted uses in the zoning district. multifamily land use requires council approval through site plan review process. And then the zoning ordinance includes certain key standards for multifamily usage, which should be noted. Minimum site area per unit, 2,178 square feet. The project would result in approximately one unit per 2,413 square feet. However, the state of California requires local agencies to permit a 35% density bonus, which self-help enterprises has requested for low-income directed or targeted housing projects. So the requirement alters the standard to a one unit per 2,250 square feet, which this project would satisfy. Maximum site coverage area, 50% of the site may be covered by structures, and the project building would, and this proposed project in this configuration, would cover approximately 43% of the site area, which is within the standard. Minimum yard requirements, the front yard requires a 15-foot setback. Self-help is requesting developer concession to this to reduce the westward frontage to 12-foot setback, and it's identified in the site plan on the south side. The minimum distance between structures is 10 feet, and it meets that criteria. The maximum building height is 35 feet, and the expectation is this would be about 30 to 32 feet in height to match Palm Terrace Phase 1 project. And parking requires a minimum of 1.5 spaces for one-bedroom units and two spaces per unit that equals or exceeds two-bedroom units, and that's per our code. This project would require a total of 99 spaces, with four of these spaces meeting ADA requirements. 99 are proposed, with 11 handicapped spaces proposed. Zoning Ordinance Section 18.18.050 lists several findings that are needed for approving site plan review applications. In sum, this includes finding that project complies with all applicable codes and would not adversely impact public health, safety, or welfare, and staff believes the project meets these findings, subject to the recommendations and the condition of approval. Circulation, again, we talked about this site is about 500 feet south of Hermosa and 600 feet north of Samoa. It provides appropriate parking, some covered by solar panel coverings, and others are open spaces. Public services. We have sewer, water, and storm drain facilities that would cover and meet the needs of the proposed project. Trash and recycling. They have identified trash recycling and potentially future organic recycling that would meet multifamily requirements. So the project evaluation, street improvements. It has single frontage as compared to Palm Terrace 1, which had a double frontage. Westwood is pretty much a complete project. It does lack frontage sidewalk, and that would be proposed with the project. It would match the sidewalk to the north with Phase 1, and then match, there's a run of sidewalk that extends off the Silver Crest project, and that would be required to match that sidewalk as well. Again, transit and pedestrian improvements, we will work with Self-Help Enterprise to pursue affordable housing and sustainable communities grant funding, looking at that 1 mile radius impact on the project. And the fencing and landscaping. Landscaping would be required to meet California Model Landscape Ordinance and State Emergency Water Regulations. The fencing would match Phase 1 on the east side, 6-foot tall block fence, and then also on the south border and east border to the single family residential, the same requirement would be in place. Signage would be under separate permit and review. And Environmental Review Council did approve the recommended categorical exemption. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions or if you have questions. That's it.